One of the things I really loved in the first time I met Jeff was the spirit of grace that was on him, not just the spirit of authority and power. And I did love that. It's a fantastic thing. This morning I was just when I was just talking to the Lord this morning when I was praying, and I felt he said Psalm 96, and I looked and I thought, well, what on earth did you say that for? And then just sitting here I realized Psalm 96 starts like this. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Okay, sing to the Lord, bless his name. Good tidings, salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations. But it goes on to talk about creation, singing out for the Lord. So I'm just looking for the verse. Let the heavens be glad, the earth rejoice, let the sea roar, let the fields exult, let the trees of the forest sing for joy. And Jeff is a man who really knows the creation connection of the Holy Spirit. And I just see that on you, that, you know, it says of mankind that he was made of the dirt of the earth. We have a connection with the creation, which is why God gives us the job of bringing his order to it. And I believe Jeff's a man that brings a breakthrough and understanding of that. And so my prayer is that by his visit with us, we will see a greater sense of that connection that we have with the land we inhabit. You know, it's that verse in Psalms where it says, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to men. That's the one. It's because, you see, we have been drawn out of the earth to be the earth's representatives in the courts of our King. We are made of the earth as the earth's representatives. And my prayer is that your visit here with us, Jeff, leaves us with a real understanding of the authority we carry in those ways. So I want to just bless you as you go on to speak to us, Father. Father, I thank you for the man. I thank you for the message he carries. Father, I thank you that is not just arbitrary, but that is about the response of his heart to the callings and the promptings of the Lord. And so, Father, we are grateful both for your input, but his response. And Father, I just ask that you would release the authority of what he carries this morning amongst us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. Thank you. It's good to be here today. We just had an incredible time in Cardiff. How many know that God's moving? I said that one time. They said, where's he moving to? Change of address? Yes, he's moving right here. And God is moving, and I'm so glad to be here. I guess I should probably say a couple of things. Do you have the CD queued up? Okay, this is what I'd like to do. I've got a new CD in the back. Actually, I didn't bring anything with me this time, but this is the only CD that I've got. Hosanna Integrity has joined up with us, Ignited Music. Our ministry is Global Fire Ministries International, based out of Nashville, Tennessee. Somebody say Nashville.
Nashville.
Music. And I moved to Nashville years ago, and I wrote for the Who's Who in the Charismatic Zoo. You know, I wrote for Sparrow, Benson, Promise Keepers, Maranatha. I wrote for all of those. Got some glass trophies. They make great door openers. And did that whole thing with the music industry. I love music. And music is the language of the Spirit. It's the language of heaven. Music is incredible, and it's in my DNA, and I just love it. So what I'd like to do is, I didn't bring any books with me. I didn't bring any product with me this time. It was just a short trip. But I'd like to be able to play just a cut of this. Would that be okay? Can I do that? Okay. Actually, it's track number 8. And we'll just go there. We're going to play 8, 9, and 10. They're just real short. So go ahead and do that.
Show me your glory, Lord. Show me.
Anyways, that's just a little bit of a taste of Sound of Glory. I just love music, and I love worship. You know, I love. I cut my teeth in music ministry before I ever started preaching, traveling the nations, doing crusades, you know, miracle ministry. Before any of those things happened, I cut my teeth in music, and some of the most significant encounters, some of the most significant things that we've ever seen or I've ever seen happen, has come out of the realm of just music, come out of the realm of just being in a place of worship. So. Anyways, that's back there. And, okay. Well, we're glad to be here. I just want to honor you this morning. I want to honor the church in England, the Church of England. And just being an American, that means a lot. It means a lot to me. I know, you know, just, the revivals, the things that have come out of England that have been so foundational for what we've experienced in America, Wales. You know, we were talking about the Welsh revival. We're talking about the United Kingdom. And England has impacted the world, as we all know. But one of the greatest heritage, it's got one of the most incredible Christian heritage. And I don't have to tell you about your heritage, but I want to honor you this morning. I want to honor the church in England. I'm so thankful. I'm so excited about future. And I believe that everything that the church in England, the United Kingdom in England, everything that you've been through was to get you to this place. That's a good thing. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It's been to get you to this place. And I believe what's coming to England, I believe what's coming in these last days, what's coming in this time, there's going to be such a reformation. Say reformation. There's going to be a reformation in the church. I believe that we need to go from glory to glory to glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. You know, it talks about, all of chapter 3 talks about the veil and talks about how there's a veil that lies over the heart of Israel. And even today, you know, like there was on the face of Moses, but even today, when the Old Testament is read, there's a veil that lies on the heart. But God is exposing, I mean, he's lifting the veil, not just on Israel or, but on humanity. God is lifting the veil so that we can see. And it talks about, and we all with unveiled hearts, as we continue to behold the glory of the Lord, the word is behold, it's gazing. As we continue to stare and look into the glory of God, we are being transfigured. We're being transfigured. We're being changed from one degree or one revelation, one understanding of glory, like stair stepping from one degree of glory into the next degree of glory, into the next revelation of the glory of God, into the next revealing of the living Christ, into the next revelation of the living Word. We're being changed as we stare and as we look, like gazing into a mirror, it says. We're being changed from one revelation into another. And I believe what's coming into the nations of the earth is, the nations of the earth, we're going to see an outpouring of the glory of God that will cause all other revivals, all other movements, they'll all wane and pale in comparison to the glory of God that is going to hit the United Kingdom. So get ready. Whether you like it or not, it's coming. Whether you want it or not, God wants it. And I found out it's best to yield. Say yield. Say, Lord, I surrender. It's best to just surrender to the purposes and plans of God. This nation is getting ready to be under holy attack from heaven. And I'm telling you, the world is shaking right now. How many know the world is shaking? I'm going to prophesy over you just a little bit. Is that okay? I'm going to speak the word over you. The nations are shaking. I travel the nations of the earth. And last year was a marathon through the nations, from Dubai, Middle East, to Southeast Asia, I don't know how many times, Australia, New Zealand, England, you know, South America, North America, didn't matter, just everywhere, Indonesia, gosh, we were everywhere. And there's one thread in common that I see. There's a raw hunger for God. And people are crying out, Lord, show me your glory. You know, we've seen you, Lord. We've had a portion. We've had, Lord, we've experienced, you know, and each culture experiences an outpouring of the glory of God. If you go to Indonesia, you know, you'll hear about what's the man's name, the revivalist there, that back in the 60s and the 70s, they had an outpouring of the glory of God. Mel Tari had an outpouring of the glory of God where the power of God hit the Indonesian islands, and it didn't hit the adults. Praise God. It hit the children. And the children prophesied. I don't know how long that revival was, but the children ministered to the parents. They prophesied under the power, under the Spirit of God. They had angelic visitations. They had visitations from heaven. And I'm telling you, we need visitations from heaven. We need revelation. We need all of the help that heaven can get us into this new place. Well, these children were visited. Angels showed up and fed them bread. Fed them hot bread from heaven. There was such a revival in the islands. And if you know anything about Indonesia, and Mel Tari talks about this in his book. I can't remember the name of the book now, but the children, there's chains of islands, and some of them are not far apart. Some of them are, you know, just hundreds of yards apart. Some of them are miles apart, but the children would walk on the water. Somebody say that's supernatural. Under the power of God, they walked from island to island on the water. Now we're talking a few. We're talking the children under the power of the Holy Spirit. They walked from island to island, and everywhere they went, the island would go into revival. The children would step onto the island, and the churches would be wiped out because of the glory of God, the power of God. You know, Indonesia had an amazing awakening. The church in China is getting ready to be rocked by the power of God. The underground church is coming up. And the red dragon, I don't want to talk about dragons, but the red dragon that's over that island in China that has been suppressing and oppressing the church, the king of China, the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with that principality. But there's a revival that's going to bring the underground church above ground. And I'm talking massive reformation in China. You mark my words. God is, the islands are shaking. The Pacific Rim is shaking. The earth is groaning. There is such spiritual tension, tension in the heavenlies, the clash of spiritual darkness and the clash of heavenly light. The two spiritual opposing forces, there's such tension, the spiritual tectonic plates, for lack of a better word, just to give you a word picture, are clashing in the heavenlies. And we know which one's going to break. It's not the kingdom of light. It's the kingdom of darkness. But even the earth is feeling that. And the earth is a manifestation of what's happening. You know, Jesus said before he comes back, there's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be all these different things, shakings in the earth. But listen, now is not the time to go into fear. Those are all indicators that something incredible is about to happen. Do you believe that? God is going to rock England. He is going to shake England from head to foot. He's going to shake the church in England, not violently to bring destruction. It's about the kingdom of God coming to earth in such a way that revival and reformation comes and changes what we know as government. Now, I'm not talking about the changing of the natural government, but it will influence the natural government. The kingdom of God is a kingdom within a kingdom, and that kingdom is going to change. It's going to shift. It's going to dramatically change the church government, and God is going to lift us up into a brand new place. And listen, we need to be lifted. You need to be lifted. So I honor you today, and I speak a blessing over the Church of England. I speak a blessing over you and a blessing over the Church of England. I'm telling you heaven and all of heaven, how many know that principalities and powers are not just dark? There are dark principalities and powers, but there are principality ruling angelic beings like Michael, like Gabriel. You know, they're not on vacation someplace. They sit over heads of nations. There are angels. Did you know that there's an angel that sits over the church and over the region, over the nation of England? Do you realize that? He is an archangel, and he is guarding, protecting, and the purposes of God and the intention of God for the Church of England. He is a powerful being, and he will not be moved. He's not influenced by dark principalities and powers. And I don't want to talk about that today because I just don't even like to give voice to that arena. But I want to give voice to the arena of heaven. And listen, creation, and Christian was talking about creation. Creation responds to the voice of authority, doesn't it? Creation responds to the voice of the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Creation listens to the voice of mature sons and daughters and family that know who they are and speak with the authority and the backing of heaven. When Jesus stood up in the boat, remember the boat? They were in the boat and the disciples were straining at the oars. And the wind was blowing, and Jesus was asleep with his head on a pillow in the boat. And they woke the Lord and said, "Lord, don't you care? We're going to die. We're perishing." And he stood up, and he simply said, "Shh, hush." And the wind instantaneously recognized the Spirit, recognized authority, and obeyed the Word of God. And he turned to them and said, "Where's your believing? Where is your faith? Where is your believing? If you would have had faith like I have faith, if you would have understand your position, your identity as a son of God, you'd be able to speak to the storm and you'd be able to tell it to hush and it would obey you." Jesus said, if you've got that kind of faith, you can say to the mountain, literally, you can speak to the mountain, say, "Be moved from here and be planted over here," and it will obey you if you have seed, mustard seed faith. That's not just good, you know, parabolic speaking. He was talking about, listen, creation knows and understands and listens to the voice of sons and daughters who speak by the same Holy Spirit that Jesus spoke. The scripture says, you're pulling at me, so I'm going to give it to you. The scripture says, Jesus Christ was the firstborn among many brothers. He's your brother. Scripture says, he's not ashamed to call you brother. So don't be ashamed to call him brother. The very first thing he said after the resurrection, and we talked about this, and I need to kind of guard my time here. The first thing he said after the resurrection, he told Mary, he said, "Mary, don't touch me, don't cling to me." Remember John chapter 20? "Mary, don't touch me, don't cling to me, but go tell my brothers. Go tell my brothers. Go tell my family. Go tell my brothers, my amigos." That word is amigo. Brothers. "Go tell my brothers that I'm ascending to my God and to your God. I'm ascending to my Father and your Father." He said, "You're my brothers." It's amazing. It's a mystery. He's a God, man, man, God. He demonstrated what you and I could do, what you and I could walk in as a man in right relationship filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But the key is we must be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We've got to be drinking from the river. This is the river church. Praise God. We need to be drinking from the river, from the fountain of life that doesn't run dry. We need to be eating from him. Jesus was as bold as to say in John chapter 6, "Unless you eat me, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink my blood, you have no life in you. You have no authority in you. You have no spiritual life in you." John 6:63 says, you know, he was quoting, he said, "The words that I'm telling you, the parables that I'm telling you, they're not physical. They're spirit parables. You need to be drinking from me. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who drinks from me will never, no, never thirst again." Isaiah 55 says, you know, "Ho, if you're thirsty." That's when you go, "Ho." "Ho, if you're thirsty, then come to the waters." You know, why do you spend money on things that don't satisfy? Come, eat and drink, and your soul will revive. Eat bread, drink wine. Drink water, eat honey, drink the milk, you know, and your soul will live. These are all spiritual metaphors, but the bottom line is we need to be eating from heaven. We need to be drinking from heaven. And when I'm telling you, the church is learning again how to feast and how to dine and how to consume heaven's bounty. We're learning how, and when we eat from heaven, our eyes are opened. And we're filled with revelation. We're filled with power from heaven. And we begin to grow. We begin to move. We begin to live. Our spirit man becomes large. You know, Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside. You guys know Smith Wigglesworth. He said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside. In other words, what he was saying is, I've got the anointing. I feel like a massive giant. When I come into a room, I command the room. Not because it's a physical thing, but because of the largeness of the Spirit of God that's in me. There's not a devil in here, not even death itself, can hold back what I can offer. And he came into often he would come into a city and he would say, listen, if God's not moving in the meeting, I'll move God. I'll move him. God likes that. In other words, if God's not moving, I know how to get God moving. I'll just start speaking, testifying of the miracles, the goodness, the wonder working power of God. And as I begin to give voice and activate and speak what God has done, my own personal experiences and what I know from the Word of God, God begins to move. Heaven begins to move. Faith begins to fill the room. And then I can start moving in the miraculous. And when people start seeing miracles, they start understanding. They start seeing the awe of God. And they start giving God glory. And the faith level begins to rise in the room. God begins to move to the point where he's picking dead people up as revivals are breaking out in New Zealand, Australia, England, wherever he goes, and throwing them up against the wall. Because the same spirit, Romans 8:11, that lives in me, same resurrection power, the one that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me, lives in my spirit. I can give that same spirit away. I can release that same resurrection power and people get raised from the dead. And that's what he functioned in. I believe that we're going to see a radical exchange, a radical display of the glory of God in the spirit of faith in the Church of England. I believe that we've seen some things, but it's going to get higher and higher and higher. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Good. I believe that too. We've seen many, many miracles. And I don't want to talk about the miracles necessarily today. Tonight, I'm feeling like there's going to be an explosion tonight. I'm feeling like there's going to be an explosion. Well, there's going to be an explosion tonight. And this morning's a little bit different. But tonight there's going to be an explosion. So if you know people that need a healing or a miracle in their body, get them to the meeting. I don't care if they're in wheelchairs. I don't care what the situation. It doesn't matter to me what the situation. I don't care if it's tumors, stage 4 cancer. I don't care what it is. The power of God, the authority of the miraculous, heaven is going to touch them tonight. And I'm telling you, whether they're instantaneously healed, whether there's miracles that manifest in front of me. And listen, we see them all the time. Blind eyes, tumors. I love it when tumors fall off bodies onto the floor. Have you ever seen that? I love that. I hate tumors. They're devils. They're demonic. Sickness is not from God. And God wants to heal. We'll see what happens tonight. But I love to see that arena happen. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter because of the power of God. Tonight, God's going to touch. He's going to heal. He's going to do miracles. So if you know people that need a miracle, bring them to the meeting tonight. I haven't done any miracles since I've been here. So we were in Wales, and it was all about revelation. It was all about government. It was all about framing up what's coming in the Welsh revival, in the new Welsh revival. Do you believe that? I do. I've seen it. But tonight, I think we're going to go for that arena. So, I know you don't know me. You're like, who's this guy? I'll tell you a little bit about us real quick. How much time do I have? 15, 20 minutes? What's that? You said, okay. Okay, I won't go. I promise I won't go long. We've got a ministry called Global Fire Ministries, based out of Nashville, Tennessee. And like I said, you know, we travel, you know, the nations of the earth. And, you know, for the longest season, I guess I've been doing itinerant ministry for 8 years now, traveling and, you know, miracles and itinerant ministry, the glory of God. We see many manifestations of the presence of God. Do you believe in manifestations of the presence of God? The Holy Spirit, we've seen the Holy Spirit just do incredible things. I mean, things that make you think, you know, things that wonder, God, what are you doing? I don't understand. I've never seen that before, you know, and God manifesting himself in powerful, powerful ways. And so we've been doing that for years now. But recently the Lord, over this past 2 years, we've gotten received many words about establishing a center and a base. So we've established a center and a base in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got the Global Fire Church and World Miracle Center. This year we're launching on September the 6th, we're launching the Kingdom Life Institute, which is the Global Fire School of Supernatural Ministry. And it's a 9-month school. It's 4 hours a day, 4 days a week. And it's all for the purposes of training and raising up an army, teaching them how to move in the miraculous, teaching them how to be, teaching them how to be filled with the power of God, how to move in supernatural graces, how to be eating and feasting from the presence of God, just teaching and training and raising up an army, taking them into the streets and doing power evangelism. Doing miracle evangelism on the streets. That's the best way to get somebody saved, you know, when they see miracles or revelation evangelism. Taking them into third world countries and doing, you know, crusades. It's fashioned much like Bethel. You guys are familiar with Bethel Church, Reading? We're correlating the school. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. We're correlating the school with all of our events that we do at the Global Fire Church. You know, the Global Fire Church, we have the Supernatural Life Conference. You know, we'll have people like Mahesh Shabda. You guys familiar with Mahesh? Mahesh Shabda, Patricia King, real good friends of my people that I minister with all the time. Larry Randolph, Bobby Connor, are those names familiar to you? Okay. And others. All kinds of people. We'll have them come to our large events, and then they'll actually teach in the school during the day. So they get to hear an incredible, well-rounded, and get a well-rounded diet and impartation from the speakers as they come and they release and they pray for the students, and it's incredible. And so we've got this mandate to raise up an army. We got this mandate to train and equip an army of God where the Lord said, Jeff, he told me 2 years ago, he said, Jeff, I want you to multiply. I want you to raise others up so it's not just you going out to the nations. I want you to train and equip an army so that they can do the same things that you're doing. They can see the same things and even do greater things. And I said, Lord, how are we going to do this? And he said, I've got a plan. How many know that that's a good thing? God said, I've got a plan. Well, we're getting ready to move into a new facility, an 82,000 square foot facility. It'll seat 6,000 people in the Nashville arena. We'll be able to host large scale events and just have revival come to the region. That'll be coupled with the school. It's like a mixed drink for the glory of God. It's a concoction for the power of God. People pulling at heaven, high level praise and worship that brings heaven to earth. Oh, Jesus. I'm so excited for what God is going to birth in the region, in the Nashville region. But not just that, but being able to send them out into the nations of the earth and to see a harvest come in, to do power evangelism, miracle evangelism. I'm so excited about that. I'm feeling like a father. And we're kind of boasting a little bit this morning on my kids. Is that okay? Is that all right? I'm just so happy. I'm agreeing with heaven for the purposes of God. And listen, God wants to do that with you too. I believe that there are supernatural training centers. And Christian, I don't know if you're doing that or not, supernatural schools, but that'll train and equip so that we can be out there. You know, if we have to wait for them to come in here, we're in trouble. We need to be going out in the streets and seeing miracles explode on the streets, highways and byways. So anyways, I've got just a few minutes. So, Jesus, I didn't even get to, I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up. I want you to turn with me real quickly to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. And I'm going to go super fast. Thank you, Lord. Lord, set this thing on fire. Lord, anoint your word. Lord, pour out rivers. Lord, pour out rivers of water, rivers of oil. Lord, pour it out in this church with Christian and pour it out in the nation of England. Lord, pour out fresh water from heaven in the name of Jesus. Genesis chapter 2 says this. I just want to touch on this truth just real quickly, and I'm going to skip just a few places, and then I'm going to pray for you. But Genesis chapter 2 says this, starting at verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or the spirit of life, the ruach is the word, the ruach of life, and man became a living being." Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. I was wondering what you were looking at. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and God breathed his eternal spirit. Where do you think Adam came from? Adam came from the breath of God. God formed Adam, fashioned him, but he breathed. When God breathed the ruah, it was from spirit to spirit. I got good news for you. God planted you here. Oh, Jesus, help me. He planted you here. You are not here by accident. He knew you before you were born, before the worlds were created, the spirit realm and the physical world. He knew you. You existed in God. I don't want to touch on your theological ideas of that, but that's the truth. Adam came from the very breath, from the spirit of God. God, ruah, breathed him into that clay. And Adam became a living spirit being, physical and spiritual. And the Lord God planted a garden toward the east. I'm going to get into trouble with this one. And the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden. Say Eden. The Lord God planted a garden where? He planted the garden in the east in Eden. It's not the Garden of Eden. The Lord God planted a garden in the east in Eden. Eden was a place. Eden was a connector between the two worlds. It was a doorway, a gateway. It was a place where heaven connected with earth. That's where the garden came from. And I'll show you the scripture on that in a minute. Look at verse 10. "Now a river went out of Eden." So in that place called Eden, there's a river that flows through Eden, which is in the east. A river flowed through Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four river heads. Now, I don't want to get into that whole thing. How many know that we've got four chambers in our heart? Where's the Spirit of God? In us. The Spirit of God flows through us. We are, when we are born again, we are spiritually connected with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." You know, we're connected with the Lord. We're connected with divine union. Jesus said, "Listen, you see the works that I'm doing? You can do greater works than these. When the Holy Spirit's poured out, you too will have divine union with God. And you'll be able to walk connected, just like Adam was connected with the Lord. I want to reconnect mankind with the Father. And that way you'll be in me and I'll be in you. There'll be a divine flow and a divine connection. And the Spirit of God will flow from the supernatural realm through Eden." That's what that was, from the glory of God, from the supernatural realm. It'll flow through your spirit, man, and out through your belly. And you'll be able to do the same miracles, the same works that I'm doing, because I'm the firstborn among many brothers. I'm going to show you how it's done, what it looks like to be a real man in the earth, what a man that's filled with the Spirit of God and rightly connected with God, what it looks like, and the fruit that comes from being connected with me. That's what the Lord was saying. So, anyways, there's a river that came out of Eden, and it watered the garden, and from there it divided and became four river heads. Now, Jesus, help me. I need to go quickly. I want you to turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 22. Quick. Real super fast. Here it is. In the beginning of the book, there's a river. Say river. In the beginning of the scriptures, there's a river. right there in the book of Revelation, book of Genesis chapter 2. At the end of all things, at the end of time as we know it, at the end of all things, at the end of the book in Revelation chapter 22, we see another river. Revelation chapter 22 verse 1 says, "Then he showed me the river," not a river, but the river. Which river is that? It's the river. "He showed me the river whose waters give life, sparkling like crystal, flowing out from the throne of God," hallelujah, "and out of the Lamb. And through the middle of the broadway of the city, also on both sides of the river, there was the tree of life." There was a tree in the beginning, and there's a tree at the end of all things, which is just the beginning of eternity. It's just the beginning of, forever and ever and ever and ever. And here's the river again. "He showed me the river whose waters give like sparkling like crystal, flowing out from the throne of God and flowing out of the Lamb. And through the middle of the broadway of the city, also on both sides of the river, there was the tree of life with its 12 varieties of fruit." Say, "I gotta eat." Say, "I gotta drink." "Out of the 12 varieties of fruit, yielding each month its fresh crop. The leaves of the tree were for the healing and the restoration of the nations." So we see there's a river in the beginning of the book. There's a river at the end of the book. Now I want you to turn with me to John chapter 7. Oh, Jesus. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Here we are. Jesus, and I quoted John chapter 6 just a few minutes ago, and can I paraphrase for you? Can I give you the Jeff Jansen rendition real quickly? What happened was, just to put this, what I'm getting ready to read with for you on John chapter 7, Jesus had just fed the multitudes. He had just fed the 5,000, you know? He took the bread, you know, and he broke the bread. They had them all sit down in company, and he broke the bread. He took the bread and he gave thanks to the Lord, and he broke the bread and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Distribute it to them," you know, and the miracle took place at their hands as they began to distribute the bread. It multiplied and they took up 12 baskets of fragrance, of fragment that was left over, and everybody ate as much as they wanted. The fish multiplied, the bread multiplied, and the people were fat and sassy. They got healed, miracles, sitting on the hillside, had a free lunch, praise God. And then the Lord said, "Send them all away." And Jesus went up into the mountain. Say, "Up into the mountain." Jesus went up into the mountain and he spent the night communing with the Father in the Spirit. He's spending the night just in the presence of the Lord, just being, refilling his spirit man, because he gave away during the day what he had. And he sent the disciples into the boat and he said, "Go to the other side of the lake." And he came down about the third watch, it says, between the hour of 3 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock. And he came walking to them on the water. He walked on the water and he acted like he was going to pass them by. And when the disciples saw Jesus, who was a man, he was God, but he was a man. When he came walking on the water, he acted like he was going to pass them by. And they screamed out, "It's a ghost! It's a spirit!" And they said, "No, it's the Lord!" And they screamed out to the Lord, and he turned. And Peter said, "Lord, if that's really you..." Oh, don't you love Peter? "Lord, if that's really you, bid me to come. Ask me to come. I want to come and walk on the water." And the Lord said, "Oh, really? Come. Come on, Peter." And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water. And of course, we all know what happened. You know, he saw the storm. He took his eyes off the Lord. And he began to sink. And Jesus reached out and grabbed him and said, "You know, listen, you need to have more faith, Peter." But the fact is, Peter walked on the water. The fact is, Peter walked on the word, on the water. He obeyed the voice of the Lord. And he was able to move supernaturally, just like Jesus did. And immediately it says that Jesus got into the boat, and immediately they were on the other side of the lake. Isn't that amazing? Jesus transported a whole boat with the disciples, a whole boat with all the guys, And immediately they were on the other side of the lake. And when they got there, it says that the people that he just fed the night before, they had already walked around to the other side of the lake, and they were standing there looking for another meal. It's really what they want. And Jesus said, "Why are you here? You're not coming to me because, you know, you're not coming to me because you want to, you're coming to me because you want another free meal. I fed you with bread and, you know, fish on the other side." He said, "Listen, I am the bread of heaven." And so when he began to talk about that metaphor, "I am the bread of heaven. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're all dead. But he who eats the bread that comes down from heaven will never die. I am," hallelujah, "the bread of heaven. You must eat from me. You must drink from me. Unless you eat from me and drink from me," listen, "that bread will satisfy you for a little while, but you need to be eating from me. You want to live? You want to be able to do the things that I'm doing? You've got to eat from me. The words I'm telling you, they're spirit words. You must eat me," is what he was saying. "You must be partaking, deriving your life and being supernaturally charged from me by the Spirit of God." And they said, how can we hear what you're talking? What do you mean? We got to eat your flesh and drink your blood? Do you have a demon?" is what the people said. And it says that many of his disciples, it was said, was too hard for them to even hear. And they left and they said, "I'm not going to follow you anymore." And many of his disciples turned away, and he turned to Peter, he turned to the disciples and said, "Are you going to forsake me too?" And Peter says, "Where are we going to go? I just walked on water. You know, I just walked on, I've watched you raise Jairus from the dead. Lord, I've watched you do miracles. Where am I going to go? I'm ruined. My eyes have seen too much. I've experienced way too much. Where am I going to go? You alone have the words. You are the Messiah. You alone have the words of eternal life. I don't know why you did what you just did, Jesus. We had a good thing going. We had a meeting out of the palm of our hand. The church was growing. We got 5,000 men, not including women and children. The church was growing. You know, we could have planted a movement, planted churches. We could have had a big empire. And then you did the eat my flesh and drink my blood thing, and that just split the church right down the middle. And, you know, I wouldn't have done that if I were you. It's not a good church planting technique. But I've seen too much. I just walked on water. You're the Messiah. You are the Lamb of God. This is the same scenario, the same place, the same thing. And here's Jesus. He finds himself... His brothers want him to go to, it's during the Feast of Tabernacles, just a chapter later. And he's with his brothers, and his brothers, they didn't believe in him either. They said, "So are you going to go to the feast, Jesus?" They were talking to him. I'm giving you the Jeff Jansen rendition, but it's all in context. "So Lord, Jesus, are you going to go to the feast?" And he said, "No, you guys go on. I'm going to stay back." And his brothers went to the feast, but Jesus secretly went to the feast. And he was standing during the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the greatest feast of all. The feast, it was the most celebrated, most attended. Here he is at the Feast of Tabernacles. And it says this, verse 37, 7:37 says this, "Now on the final and the most important day of the feast, Jesus stood up." Now, the last day of the feast, if you know anything about the Feast of Tabernacles, the last day, the Feast of Tabernacles is the last day, is the most important day. It's the day that they petition God for the latter rain. Say latter rain. It's the high priest takes a pitcher. He actually walks up to the brazen laver, and he dips a pitcher into the brazen laver, and they do this great big ceremonial thing. Now, you have to understand there are tens of thousands of people that attend the Feast of Tabernacles. Jerusalem is flooded. People make a spiritual journey every year to partake in this. And the last day is the great day when they do the drink offering. They pour out the drink offering. And they actually ask the Lord to pour water out from heaven in the fall. It's in usually the month of September, October. They need the latter rains in order to saturate saturate the ground so that in the spring, the ground is prepared for seed so that they have a good harvest. So they're chanting and they're all the time, and the high priest comes out on that day and he's got this big pitcher of water, and they do this great big ceremonial march around the temple, and they've got the chanters and the singers and the worshipers, and they're all petitioning God to pour out water from heaven, to pour out the latter rains, and they're saying, "Oh Lord, you're so good." I mean, they're chanting in the book of Psalm. There's like five or six books that are all about God pouring out rain, and I have to go back and look at it. I don't have it in front of me right now, but they're chanting and they're shouting, "Oh Lord, you're so good." It's like they're buttering God up for an outpouring. I'm talking about how good he is. Lord, you're so good. You're so awesome. Lord, pour out your water. Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor. And they're chanting these psalms about the goodness of God and how they're asking God to pour out the latter rain. And thousands and thousands of people, they're all watching this big production as the high priest has that pitcher of water and he walks over to the altar and he pours out the drink offering. What's valuable and what's important for them to be blessed for their crops, he takes that water and he pours it out on the altar. And Jesus is there watching this whole thing. He's watching this whole procession. He's watching the nation of Israel asking God, his Father, to pour out water from heaven. Pour out the blessing from heaven. And Jesus says this. He's watching this ceremonial thing. Verse 37 says, "Now on the final and the most important day of the feast, Jesus stood up at the moment that this is taking place. The drink offering is being poured out. Jesus stood up and he cried out in a loud voice, 'If any man's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, who cleaves and trusts and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuous springs and rivers of living water.'" He said, you're asking me, you're asking God to pour out water from heaven for the an outpouring of the latter rain. You're asking God by his Holy Spirit to pour out water. He said, listen, if you're thirsty, if you really want a drink offering, come to me. You need to be drinking from me. You need to be drinking from the river. You need to be drinking from me. I am the river. I am the tree of life. I am, you know, the scripture in Revelation 22 says, "And I saw the river, whose waters give life, like crystal flowing out from the throne and flowing out of the Lamb." Jesus said, you need to come to me. You need to be drinking from me. You're asking my Father to pour out water. You need to be coming to me. He told the woman at the well in John chapter 4 verse 24, he said, listen, if you would have asked me, if you would have known the gift of God that's standing in front of you right now, you would have asked me for living water. You need to be drinking from me. And this is the condition of the church. The condition of the church is, you know, we need to be drinking. We need to be eating from the presence of God. And I'm telling you, our soul is going to revive. And what is coming to the Church of England? And it's not just the Church of England, but I'm prophesying, and I'm just telegraphing today because I'm here in England, praise God. I'm just telling you what's coming to the church in England. There's coming an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's coming an outpouring of the glory of God that's going to just swallow the church, and we're going to learn to drink. Some of us won't like it. Some of you won't like some will not partake. They'll say, listen, that's too much for me. Too many wacky things happen when we start drinking from the river. But I'm telling you, the church is going to start, the true church is going to start drinking like they've never drank before and eating from the very person in the presence of God. And it's going to cause such a reformation to hit the church. Things are going to go, the kingdom of God will manifest in a brand new way. The church will shift from one revelation and one degree of glory into another degree of glory by the Lord who is that Spirit. And as the church begins to eat, the spirit man will grow and revive, and reformation will come to the land. So in this season, this is what God's doing. Every great revival, Every great move of God that has ever taken place in the church or in the earth has come by Holy Spirit. It's come by people being completely given over to and eating from the presence of God. And I'm telling you, many people don't like it, but it doesn't matter what they think. Because the way to have true spiritual revival, true spiritual life, is to be drinking and eating from the presence of God. And I'm telling you, we're going to experience some things in this day and age. Like we've never experienced before. And I read I'm going to read something that Smith Wigglesworth, I'm going to read this passage right here, this prophecy that Smith Wigglesworth prophesied about Wales and about Great Britain, about the United Kingdom. He prophesied it in 1947, and it hasn't happened yet. But I believe that we're on the verge of seeing the greatest revival, the greatest outpouring, the greatest explosion of the glory of God that the earth has ever seen. The Bible makes it very clear that there's going to be an end time revival. There's going to be an end time ingathering, an end time harvest. And in order for that to happen, some things need to happen in the church. And I believe that just like the earth is shaking, things are beginning to shake in the spirit realm. And God is preparing the church for this outpouring. Now I'm going to read this word, and then we're going to pray. This is the word that Smith Wigglesworth prophesied in 1947. That's 1 year before the 1948 latter rain outpouring. And it was before the 1950s tent revival that swept the earth. And here it is. I'll read it. It says, this is the 47 Smith Wigglesworth prophecy. It says, during the next few decades, there will be two distinct moves of the Holy Spirit across the church in Great Britain. The first move will affect every church that is open to receive it and will be characterized by the restoration of the baptism of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The second move, that's the first one, the second move of God, or the second move of the Holy Spirit, will result in people leaving historic churches and planting new churches, leaving the traditional churches because they're hungry for more, and they'll plant new churches. How many know that the Vineyard is a new church? I mean, Calvary Chapel, River Churches, like you're a River Church, springing up because things are happening. This is actually part of that word. The second move of God will result in people leaving historic churches and planting new churches. In the duration of each of these moves, the people who are involved will say, "This is the great revival." But the Lord says, "No. Neither is this the great revival, but both are steps toward the great revival." When the new church phase is on the wane, in other words, it's beginning to die down, there will be evidence in the churches of something that has not been seen before. A coming together of those with an emphasis on the Word and those with an emphasis on the Spirit. When the Word and Spirit come together, there will be the biggest movement of the Holy Spirit that the nation and indeed the world has ever seen. It will mark the beginning of a revival that will eclipse anything that has been witnessed within these shores. Even the Wesleyan and Welsh revivals of former years, the outpouring of God's Spirit will flow over from the United Kingdom to mainland Europe, and from there will begin a missionary move to the ends of the earth. Now, that's Smith Wigglesworth prophesied that in 1947. And I believe that we are at this juncture of time. Listen, United Kingdom, Church of England, get ready because God's going to rock your world. The Holy Spirit is going to pour out in a brand new way. We are simply required to drink from His presence and to eat from Him. And when we do, I'm telling you, He will lift us up into the glory of His presence, and you will shine like bright lights. You'll move with incredible supernatural power. Peter didn't think that he could walk on water. You'll do things that you've never done before, but you'll be required to be eating from His presence and eating and drinking from Him. You will do things that you only dreamt about. Now, I'm prophesying over you. This is what's coming to the church. Even the earth is telegraphing the season that we're in. The quakings, the shakings, the rumblings. Wasn't there just an earthquake in Spain? Now, I'm not... go ahead. When? Last month in the north of England. Listen, it's shaking. The tectonic plates in the earth, there's such pressure there. The earth is telegraphing what is happening in the heavens. First in the natural, then in the spiritual. That's the way that it works. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It happens in the natural first, and then it happens in the spiritual. There's great things that are happening. So this is an exciting time. You need to prepare, because whether you like it or not, he's coming. He's coming. The scripture says, suddenly he will come to his temple. He will come into his temple, whether you like it or not. I've seen the Lord completely embarrass people. People come to a revival meeting just to check out the meeting. And I've seen them accosted by the Holy Spirit. I don't believe any of this is true. Bam, down on the ground, shaking under the power of God. And after about an hour, they wake up and they stand up and they're assisted to their seat. And they say, I don't believe that the Holy Spirit, bam, back down on the floor, shaking under the power. In other words, shut up. You're not in control. I am. I know how to govern my body. I've seen people that have resisted the Holy Spirit crack under the power of the Holy Spirit and become some of the greatest weapons for the kingdom of God. God is going to raise up the children. He's going to raise you up. He's going to pour out his glory on an end time warrior bride that will literally work with him and partner with him in reaping the nations, in bringing in an end time army. Billions will be saved in this last revival. It will be the hallmark. Billions will be saved, and he will step into a corporate body on the earth. We are the body. We need nourishment. We need strength. We need revelation. We need empowerment from the Holy Spirit of God. He's going to step into his church. He's going to step into his body, and he will have a body that's prepared and ready for him, a bride, a warrior bride that's prepared and ready and is filled and flowing with supernatural graces, filled and flowing with revelation, filled and flowing with the glory of God. He's going to step into them, and he is going to reap the earth. Hallelujah. He's going to reap the earth. He's going to, one last time, he's going to set the sickle into everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and everything that will be saved, everyone that will be saved, he will reap them in. And I believe that there will be billions. And they're not going to come in because we've got the greatest churches. That's been proven, because we don't. They're not going to come in because we've got the best building. And they're not going to come because of that. They're going to come because they see the glory of God on the church. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Nations will come, kings will come to the brightness of your rising. So rise and shine. They'll come because they see the glory of God resting on you. It's time for us to rise and shine. Could we just stand with me? I know I went a little long, but that's okay. I'm a preacher. Raise your hands up into the presence of God with me right now. And if you would, just close your eyes, but just raise your hands up. Can you play just a little bit? Just raise your hands up for just a moment. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something maybe you've not done before, but I want you to just lift your face into the presence of God, if you would. Just lift your head up. Just lift your face up. Lift your arms up. And just for just a moment, you don't have to look with your eyes, but just turn your eyes to the Lord. Let him shine on you. Say, Lord, shine on me, Jesus. Let your light shine on me, Lord. Your word says, looking unto Jesus, arise and shine. Lord, let your glory, let your light, let your favor shine on me. Shine on your church. Lord, shine on the church in England. Hallelujah. Fill us, Lord, with Holy Spirit. Fill us with supernatural power. Fill us with your presence, Lord. Fill us with your glory. I'm so hungry for
for your presence, Jesus. I'm so thirsty for the river whose waters give life. Open my eyes, Lord. Lift the veil from my eyes as I look into the glory of God. And transform me, Lord. Change me. Transform me, Lord. Change me into that glory, into the image of Jesus by the Spirit, by the Lord who is that Spirit. Lord, just bless us now. Lift us, Lord, into the glory of your presence. Into the glory of your presence. Turn my eyes on you, Jesus. Oh, turn my eyes on you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, be blessed. And hopefully we'll see you tonight. Listen, I mean that if there are people that that you know that need miracles, I really believe there's going to be an explosion tonight. And I just don't say that flippantly. We've seen people get off of mats. I was in Korea just recently. And everyone that was on mats, Lou Gehrig's disease, Parkinson's disease, cancer, all of them were healed. And we didn't touch anybody. Didn't touch anybody. There were thousands that got healed by television. Just the glory of God going out through the medium of television, through the port of television. And as they connected with the meetings, the power of God filled the house. The power of God filled the room. People got healed in England. A woman got out of a wheelchair in England. I'm in Korea. You know, people get healed all around Southeast Asia, connecting. Miracles, metal rods, plates, pins dissolving in people's bodies. Blind eyes, tumors, devils manifesting on telephone as they're calling into the meeting because of the power of God. I just sense the glory of God right now. Lord, fill us with your glory. Fill your church, Lord, with your glory. Fill us, Lord, with your glory. Lamb of God. Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Whew. I better turn this over. It's going to flip here in just a minute. Fill your church, Lord, with your glory.